And now, after years of planning, sweating, and going broke, here is the Boots and Whiskey Podcast with Jim Belisle.
And it left the media.
Why they would give this man a podcast is anyone's guess.
And there is what could only be a bizarre coincidence or something else.
Welcome to the Boots and Whiskey Podcast with Jim Belisle.
Trapped, drunk, and stupid is no way to go through life, sir.
Country music and fine moonshine. Finally, a podcast that lets it all hang out.
Let's level with America.
Got your boots? Ready for some whiskey?
These boots are made for walking.
One of these days, these boots are gonna walk all over you.
And now, the Boots and Whiskey Podcast with Jim Belisle.
Hey, everyone. Welcome back to another episode of the Boots and Whiskey Podcast. As always, I am Jim. I am your host. Thank you so much for tuning in to this Friday episode of the show. We have Jett Jurgensmeyer on the show today. Jett has done some really cool things. He's not only a singer-songwriter, but he's also been Boyd in Last Man Standing, for those of you that know that show. Great show. You know, he's had roles in American Sniper, Grey's Anatomy, so many things. A version of The Little Rascals, Hot in Cleveland. You know, the list goes on and on and on, right? He's been in this industry for quite some time, and we are super excited to have him here on the show. His music is great. You know, his what he's doing is awesome. You know, we talk a lot about his music and his influence and how and why he is who he is, which I think is an incredible story. So I don't want to get too much into it because we talk a lot about it. So a big thank you for Jett for being here. It was awesome to chat and shoot the breeze. Great kid. He's got really cool things. We talked during the whole strike thing, so we talk a lot about that. So if you're wondering, like, hey, the strike's over, yeah, I know. It's just been busy. We're finally getting around to episodes that, you know, we're a super hurry to get into or get out. You know, the ones that have been released previous to now had to come out when they came out. So going forward, there's a lot of things still coming out. You know, we still have the whole month of December, and I'm not going to lie to you. I really think the last week of December, you may get an episode every day. Just so we can clear out what we have and start 2024 fresh. I think we already have the first episode of 24 done. I think we're going to put out one that's already been released, because there's a EP coming from one of the artists we've talked to in January. So anyway, you don't need to know all that behind the scenes stuff, but you know what? It's cool. It's cool to know the ins and outs of this shit too. Sorry, Jett. I know you're a youngin and I'm swearing on your episode. I apologize, buddy. But for those of you that are your first time here, thank you so much for tuning in. You know, you're in for a good one. You're in for a treat here with Jett Jurgensmeyer. Yeah, guys, that's it. If you're local to the area, the Worcester area, tomorrow night, Houston Bernard, Scarlet Drive, Ashley Jordan, great bill, Off the Rails. Go check it out. And don't forget, we are also giving away two tickets to Burt Kreischer if you're in the area at the DCU Center next Thursday, December 7th. So we only have a few more days of that contest going out. We are going to end it on Sunday, and a winner will be announced on Monday. So stay tuned for that. Again, thank you for everybody for involved in this episode. And that's it, guys. If it's your first time, go check us out on Insta, Facebook, TikTok, the whole nine yards. We're there. Appreciate all your help and support. We greatly, greatly appreciate all of you. We did get our Spotify numbers in the other day for the year, and blessed is beyond the word I want to use. If you want to know what those numbers are, go to our Instagram page. I have posted them there. And that's it, guys. Check out our website too, bootsandwhiskeyentertainment.com. We got some cool things we're going to announce at the first of the year. And that's it. Stay tuned, guys. And without further ado, some commercials here for our partners. and our conversation with the incredible Jet Juergensmeyer. Enjoy, guys. We'll see you on the flip side. Cheers. We want to give a big thank you to our friends over at Off the Rails here in Worcester, Massachusetts. You can find them at offtherailsworcester.com. They have a great restaurant, a great music venue. They have everything you would want to feel like in Nashville right here in Central Mass. If you're ever in the area, check out the restaurant, check out the music venue. Again, offtherailsworcester.com, 90 Commercial Street, Worcester. Check them out. Hey, Hello. Jet. What's going on, man? Oh, you know, just enjoying a rainy day here in New England.
There you go. I'm glad to be here. Man. This will be fun.
Thanks, man. Thanks for being on. It's a pleasure to have you. I'm excited for this conversation. I don't know if you've been told much, but this is about you, man. I have no pre-planned questions for you. I want you to tell your story, and we're pretty much just going to shoot the breeze, man.
Sounds good.
So, for those that don't know who you are, kind of take us back to how you got started with all this.
Absolutely. So, I was born in Nashville, Tennessee, and that's where I have spent the majority of my life. I always tell people, whenever you're born in Nashville, you're going to be involved in entertainment in some way, shape, or form. And so, my way, shape, and form happened to be on stage and in front of a camera. So my parents owned a bar here in Nashville called the Nashville Palace. It's right across from Opryland. It's still there. There's still actually a picture of me on the wall in the palace. And basically, I just started getting on stage there when I was about three, and I started singing and telling jokes and entertaining people, kind of fell in love with that. And at the ripe old age of four, we had some friends who were basically like family with us. They recommended to my parents that they try acting with me just to see what happens. Flip a coin, see what happens. And we did. I absolutely fell in love with that. I'm a talker, in case you couldn't tell already. I'm a talker. And so getting to meet new people and talk to new people at four, I just found that really fun. And so started doing it. When I was five, we started going to California because I started working out there a lot. And then fast forward 14 years, almost 15 years, and here we are.
Damn. We're going to get into the music, right? But for those that don't know your background, you've been on quite a few television shows and movies.
I have. I've been very fortunate to have been able to work on some pretty cool projects. Anything from, you know, Last Man Standing, which was on Fox with Tim Allen and Nancy Travis, to Little Rascals. I was spanking Little Rascals movie, to a lot of voiceover work, actually, for Disney and Nickelodeon and Amazon and Netflix. I've done a lot of work for them. Still, actually, continue to do work for Nickelodeon, which is awesome because they're the only company that you can actually work for right now because our union's on strike. Right. So that's been really fun, and you know, I've worked on a bunch of different shows, a bunch of different movies over the years, and I've just been very blessed. I've loved every second of it. You know, getting to work from anybody from Betty White to Clint Eastwood to Bradley Cooper. That's just, I've been very, very fortunate, and I don't take any of it for granted.
Now, because you're what, 18, I think I saw?
Yes, sir. I'll be 19 in November.
Now, do you have any sense, and I don't mean this disrespectfully at all, but do you have any sense of the magnitude of people you have worked with?
I do. I have somewhat of an understanding of it now.
Okay.
Because in the moment, you know, when I'm 6 years old or 7 years old and I'm working with Betty White, I don't realize the impact Betty White has on the world.
Right, right. And you're just like, who's this old lady? Right.
Exactly. And now I look back at it, and, you know, when she, God rest her soul, when you open Google for the entire day that you pass away, and it says thank you, Betty, and a picture of you pops up when you just open Google, that means you had a pretty large impact on the world. And right. So that kind of hits you then. And, you know, I look back on it now. When I was young, I got to perform on stage with George Jones. And I don't realize it, you know, then that's George Jones. And right. Now I look back on it and I'm like, I was on stage with the Possum. That's right. Crazy.
Right. Right. Now, do you remember any of that? Like, other than like absolutely. Pictures, you have the actual memory?
I do. I have the actual memory of being on stage with George. I have the actual memories of working with Betty. And it was just, it was fun because, you know, at the time, you know, when I'm on stage with George Jones, I'm just like, oh, I'm on stage with just another dude. We're just on right. stage singing a song. I know his song, White Lightning. I'll sing it for you. Little do I know that like White Lightning is one of his biggest songs of all time and one of the biggest country songs of all time. I don't realize that in the moment. And now 18-year-old Jet looks back on it and goes, what in the world?
Right. Do you think 18-year-old Jet would have been able to get on that stage with George Jones and sing that song?
18-year-old Jet would have, but he yeah. would have been shaking in right. his boots. He would right. have, he would, if George Jones walked in to my office right now while I'm sitting here on the phone with you, I would go, it'd be yeah. the only time you'll hear me this entire podcast not have anything to say.
Oh, well, challenge accepted.
I'm excited to see you try to stump me.
I just might.
Okay.
So I do want to touch upon everything here, right? Because obviously I got to do a little research on you and know who you are. But
yes, sir.
So when you get, you know, and based on, you know, the style of show that we do here, you know, in the country music world, I guess you could say, or everything that is, you know, in that realm, right?
Yeah.
When you get a show like, you know, Man Standing, or, you know, you get a part on American Sniper, you know, and things like that, right? How does that even happen? You know, how do you become Boyd in one of the probably greatest sitcoms in the last 10, 15 years?
Very stressfully. So I actually, a few months before I got the audition for Boyd, I discovered the show and became a genuine fan of it and right. got my parents hooked onto it. And we actually became fans of the show and would watch it every night while we're eating dinner. And I'm sure I say that, and some people that are like completely against TV at dinner are going to be like, how dare your parents? All right. I know some people are going to get upset by that. My parents and I like to watch movies and shows together while we eat dinner. And we were actually watching Last Man Standing when we got the email to audition for Last Man Standing. And some people are going to say that that is not true, that I swear to you, it's like straight out of a movie. That's exactly what happened. And it was surreal because we're sitting there watching the show and my mom's like, hey, your agent just sent us an email saying that you got you have an audition in a couple days for Last Man Standing. And it was kind of like a double take because it's on the TV. And that was a stressful audition, I'm not going to lie, because I loved the show. And right. I love comedy. I love Tim Allen. And so that was stressful. And going in there and jumping through every hoop of auditioning, going from the casting director to a producer, from the producer to the writers to the showrunner, having to jump through all those hoops to finally get cast for that show was so stressful, but I'm so glad that I did it because it was a great experience. I made some amazing friends and family from that show, learned a boatload, which I am so thankful for because, like I said, I love comedy and there's nobody better to learn from than Tim Allen. So it was a great experience.
That's great. Now, is that something that's pretty typical with TV shows and kids where, you know, again, I was a huge Last Man Standing fan, you know, from the time at season one right up until the end, right?
Of course. And
it religiously knows that you aren't the only kid to play Boyd Baxter, right?
Mm-hmm.
So is that pretty typical on a show like that where, like, you know, the kid before, who was the kid before you? Flynn Morrison, I think.
I believe so, yes.
And then, you know, I think there was even a kid before him, but I don't know. I don't know. Because he's a little wonky because your mom, I guess, on the show is totally different than, anyway, going on. Now, is that pretty typical where, you know, you get to a point where, like, you know, that kid just is going to age out of that role and your age for that time period of the show just works better?
You know, it really varies on each show. That happens a lot in voiceover work because, you know, voices change, people mature, people age out of roles. I think it just kind of varies on what the show's looking for. And you have to remember, Last Man Standing was canceled.
With keeping that Central Mass vibe going, we have to thank our friends over at the DCU Center. Again, here in Worcester, dcucenter.com. They are the premier venue here in Central Massachusetts. They are a mid-size arena. They're the home of the Worcester Railers, the Massachusetts Pirates. Numerous concerts, numerous events. Check them out, dcucenter.com. They are at 50 Foster Street, right here in Worcester. Cheers.
On ABC. It right. was off the air. And so I think they just were trying to kind of get a little bit of a new fresh start for a couple of things. You know, when they got brought on to Fox, so they just decided to recast Boyd and Mandy. And that's how Molly and I got put on the show, which I'm very, very thankful for. I don't think it was necessarily aging out per se. I think it was mm-hmm. just, you know, there was a big time gap, and there was a year or two where they weren't filming, so, you know, people have other work gotcha. That comes up.
Right. Now, so was Amanda Fuller still your mom in the show at that point?
Yeah, she was. Amanda okay. was awesome. Amanda yeah. was so fun to work with. She got me birthday and Christmas gifts every year. She and her husband are just the sweetest.
Yeah, she's like one of my top TV crushes of all time. So
she's awesome.
That's cool. That's really, really cool. So then correct me if I'm wrong. So it was on Fox, and then when it was canceled, that's when you came in, when it went on to ABC.
It was vice versa. ABC, got canceled. I joined the show when it got picked up on Fox.
Gotcha. All right.
Yes, sir.
Cool. All right. Now that I've got the timeline down.
yeah.
And that all happened. So that all happens then after you're an American Sniper.
Yes, sir. This happened a few years after I was on American Sniper.
Now, did you have a big role in that, in American Sniper?
I did not. It is to this day the smallest role I've ever done. It was one day
really?
On that project. I was simply the kid that got attacked by a dog in the backyard of that movie during like the big birthday party they were having for their son. I was the kid that got tackled by the dog in the backyard.
Nice.
But at the same time, while it was the smallest role I've ever done, it was one of those things that I'll never forget because I got to work with Bradley Cooper and Clint Eastwood in the same day.
Right.
That's
right.
pretty cool.
Yeah. Yeah. That's not something you just like forget about.
Exactly. Also, not to mention that I got to play cornhole with Bradley Cooper, and that was pretty fun.
That's awesome. Now, is he as cool of a guy in person as you would imagine for the, you know, regular people that would never get to meet Bradley Cooper?
From my experience, absolutely.
Yeah.
I honestly didn't even recognize him when he first came over and started playing cornhole with me. I was just playing with myself over there, you know, just tossing him back and forth while we were in between takes. And this big, muscular, bearded dude walked over and goes, "You mind if I play with you?" And I was like, "Sure." And then later I realized, I was like, "Wait, that's the guy who's in the – oh!" It was one of those experiences because you really – most people didn't recognize him for that film because of, you know,
right.
how serious he took it to, like, really try to look like Chris.
Yeah. Yeah, he really transformed himself for sure.
I mean, he did a great job of it.
He did. So now while you're making all of these – movies and TV shows and doing all this voiceover work and all this stuff, where and how does the music come in? Now, did the music come in before all this had gotten started? I mean, obviously you talked about your parents owning the bar, getting up on stage and stuff, but where does that fall in?
Well, that really is kind of where it all started. Music was always there. Music has always been a part of my life. I just never was looking at being an artist, really. And then when I was about 10, my parents got me a little Taylor guitar. And not long after that, I started writing songs, started songwriting, started performing more, started doing more gigs in California, more gigs here in Nashville. And then we decided to just kind of give it a go, see, put an album together and see what happened. And now we're working on the third album. The third album's almost done.
Nice. Do you have a timetable for when that will be released?
I am shooting for the start of 2024. I think that's the most realistic time.
Right. Right. Wow. That's great. That's great. So now with what you're doing musically, have you put acting on the back burner?
No, so really I haven't. Obviously COVID threw a big wrench in things and we're still reaping the repercussions of that. So a lot of live action things stopped. The only thing that was really able to keep me busy over that was voiceover work. I could do it from home.
Yeah.
And so that's what I've been doing ever since the strike's been going on. I've been doing a lot of voiceover work for Nickelodeon. And then I just got elected to the Nashville Board of Directors for SAG-AFTRA.
So nice. Congratulations.
Thank you so much. I'm excited. So that is – it's still a very, very prominent part of my life. Which I'm excited for. I hope to be able to make some change and really, truly support my fellow actors.
That's awesome. Now, so I need to ask because, you know, it is the big buzz, you know, everybody knows what's going on with the strike and all that. So how is it that you're able to work for Nickelodeon even though
it's a great question.
Everybody's on strike?
It's a great question. So Nickelodeon has a separate contract with SAG-AFTRA than all of the other corporations. There were a few years back, the corporations were renegotiating with SAG-AFTRA, asking for bigger and better contracts. And Nickelodeon said, we're good. We'll keep what we got. And so in their contract, they can continue to produce content even through a strike and not be considered a scab, as they call it.
Right.
They're the only organization to my knowledge that is actually actively working.
Wow. Interesting. That is so cool.
It's very, very interesting, yes.
Now, I mean, do you kind of get how do you get with everything that's going on? Is there like a mass email that says, all right, well, in today's saga, this is what's going on?
That's pretty much exactly what it is. There's a big email chain. And then, you know, I do my own research. I think that's a big thing trying to – nowadays, a lot of people take other people's word for things rather than doing their own sort of research on it.
Oh, yeah. Yep.
And so that's how a lot of conflicting opinions happen and how a lot of bias spreads. And so I think it, obviously, you know, there's a mass email chain that goes out to all the members and all the board members. But then as well, you know, there's articles getting written. You can look that up and read varying views and opinions on it and kind of form your own views and opinions on it.
Sure. Now, are you itching to get back to, you know, work more or less?
Absolutely. I mean, I'm keeping myself very busy with music and voiceover work, which is keeping me extremely busy. You know, I started college, so that's been really fun. And I am, though, always looking to get back into, you know, actual live action work once we get this strike over with.
Yeah. So have you then picked up more in the music world?
I would say since COVID, that has really been true for me.
Okay.
Between writing a boatload of songs to performing a lot, it's all been very much so picking up.
Now, has that been easy for you? Is that, do you prefer, I don't want to say prefer, but do you prefer one over the other?
I really don't. No. I love entertainment in general.
Sure.
So I always tell people I just want to be in entertainment. I love doing both. I love songwriting because it gives me a chance to tell stories in a different way. Mm-hmm. And then, you know, obviously there's the aspect of being in front of a camera and putting yourself in the shoes of that character or that person. But if you're trying to write the song, you really have to get your mindset of the character, because of the person whose story you're telling. Because if you're not in the mindset, the audience can tell. Audiences can smell bullcrap from a mile away. Oh, and if you're writing about something you have no idea what you're writing about, they're going to be able to tell. If the artist is singing about it and just doesn't feel it, they're going to be able to tell. And so I think it's really important to really try to put yourself in those shoes.
Huh. Yeah. I mean, you're absolutely right. Now, do you think with your acting career, has that helped you with your songwriting musical career? Do you think it has helped you more, less, indifferent than somebody your same age doing it at a different, you know, really without a background in it?
That's a great, great question. I think it has. I think they both have helped each other in their own respective ways, because when I'm doing, you know, acting like on Last Man Standing, where you're in front of a live audience, that.
Now we're going to thank our friends on the North Shore, the Porch Southern Fair and Juke Joint. Our buddy Jonathan Post is the head chef and owner of The Porch. They are at 175 Rivers Edge Drive, right in Medford, Massachusetts. Don't want to miss this place. They have some of the best food in the region. Jonathan has brought his Nashville roots here to New England with the food, with the hospitality, and most of all, the music. Check him out, theporchsouthern.com.
Leads over into my live shows when I'm doing music, you know, performing in front of people, making that connection with the audience. And so I think they really go hand in hand. They kind of complement each other. Again, back to the mindset of getting yourself in the mindset of the characters. That's a big thing. And so they really kind of, rather than me liking one another, thinking one is more important than the other, they kind of walk hand in hand. And I don't think I would be where I am in my career or my life if I didn't have both of them.
Right. Huh. Damn. Yeah. I mean, and you get a whole sense of, you know, the industry or being an entertainer, you know, as well.
Exactly.
You know, you already have that, you know, I don't want to say training, but that training, you know, that.
No, you're absolutely right. That's exactly what it is.
Now,
it's practice.
Absolutely. Absolutely. Because whether you're in front of a camera or on a stage in front of people, you're it's a performance, regardless of.
Absolutely.
What's in front
because of. Because one thing I think people have to remember, when you walk out there, the people that paid to come see you, the people that are there coming to see you, even if you're performing at just a bar, those people are not there to hear and feel your problems and what you're going through.
Right.
And that's not me saying that that as an entertainer, we don't have personal problems and things that we go through. Me being insensitive about that. What that is me saying they're not there to listen to that. They're there to be entertained. That's your job.
Right.
And so when I walk out on that stage, nobody should have any idea of what I'm going through, how I'm feeling. All they need to see is a smile on my face and know that I am there for them.
Wow. I really like that you said that, because I've always been that person where, you know, a little bit about me, I have a background in U.S. politics and U.S. history, right? I nice. Love it. Love it.
I love American history so much. Oh, I could talk about it for hours.
And, you know, I've had my thoughts and views on things, you know, mm-hmm. again, regardless of what they are. And, you know, there's a lot of artists out there that have that same sort of, you know, views and opinions as well, right? Well, maybe not the same, but their own. And I've always, regardless if I agree with the artist or what they say or if I don't agree, I've always been one of those people that has been, you know what, just please, for the love of God, shut up and sing your song.
Exactly.
You know,
I think we get lost in the sauce of saying that we have the best job in the world, which I do believe we do. But we say that and forget that the one word in there that's job, the right. best job in the world. I don't hear of other people going to their job and talking about how crappy their day was. It's because nobody cares.
Right.
You're there to entertain them. And I think that's a really important thing. Those people are the reason that we get to have this best job in the world. So make them feel like we are there for them and that we love and care about them, because we do.
Right. Yeah. Yeah. I think you're absolutely right. You know, and it's like I said, you know, I'm all in favor of people having their own thoughts and opinions and views and, you know, whatever that.
Absolutely. Whatever that First like. Amendment.
Right. But, you know, at the end of the day, you know, I just, as a consumer of your product, because at the end of the day, that's what it is, right?
Exactly.
I want to hear or see your product. I don't care about your commentary on the world or, you know, whatever. Like, and again, absolutely. Regardless if I agree, disagree, indifferent about it. You know, I'm a big believer that people are, you know, there to see you do your art, not, you know, not get on your soapbox.
Absolutely. I think that's just a societal thing nowadays, you know, yeah. where people, I think it's just a, people kind of get upset if you say that the whole, we don't care sort of thing. We just want to hear your craft.
Oh yeah.
People get upset and offended by that. And I think that that's kind of silly.
Right. Right. Like, you know, I've seen it hundreds of times where it's, you know, you have an artist that has an opinion about something and, you know, even if they write music about it, like, that's fine, you know.
Because whatever. That's their art. That's, right. Then it's them using their art. It's not right. them just getting on stage and talking about it.
Right. Like, I'm a huge, you know, I'm a huge Aaron Lewis fan, mm-hmm. you know. But, and he's one of the, he's a culprit of that. I'm going to get up here and tell you what I think. And it's like, whether I agree with you or not, Aaron, shut up. <You know? laughs> Like, that's really, you know, and I hate to be so crass about it, but it's true, you know, and I, you know, or like that's, I'll be totally honest with you. That's why I personally won't go see somebody like Jason Isbell, because regardless of how much I like his music, I also know that whether I agree with him or not, he's going to get up there and spout off whatever he wants to.
Absolutely. You know? I know exactly what you're talking about.
And it's just like, I'm not going to subject myself to it because I just want to hear the music. So I'll throw on Spotify. But
absolutely. Anyway, I know what you mean.
We have gotten way off on this, but that's all right. So when no you're worries. Writing your music and you're doing your, where are these songs coming from?
So one thing that's really important to me is writing relatable music. And so the only way for me to properly do that is if it's something myself or one of my co-writers has been through or is currently going through. So that's where we get all of these starts to our ideas and songs. Because that way we can put ourselves in our friend's position and try to write about what they're going through. Obviously there's creative liberty where you try to make the song maybe a little bit more broad. If you're writing a song about a breakup, you know, you don't say the actual person's name, but there's always that personal effect, and that's the way that you get the most relatable and heart-wrenching song, I think.
Yeah. Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely. Now, do you, at 18, do you feel like you have a lot to say?
I think at 18, we have a lot more to say than people typically expect.
I love that. I love that you just said that.
Thank you. I think that people think, obviously, there are certain things that we have not experienced at 18 years old.
Sure.
But that doesn't – why would I listen to a 85-year-old man tell me what a teenager can and can't do when – or what it's like to be a teenager when he was a teenager 75 years ago.
Right.
And I'm a teenager actively. Right. So I think it's just understanding that your opinions can change throughout your life, but still knowing that whatever your voice might be, knowing that you have a voice no matter how old you are, everybody has feelings and opinions. Whether everybody should say their feelings and opinions out loud, I don't know. I don't come up with the greatest ideas 24/7. So I don't. Some of them I keep inside thoughts because I'm like, ooh, I think that was stupid. But it's one of the – I think I've experienced a good amount of things, and not just on a professional level but on a personal level. You know, I've still experienced heartbreak and first love and things like that. So writing about that is something that I can relate to. And if I can relate to it, my audience can relate to it.
Oh, absolutely. Absolutely. Now, have you – when you're playing out, right?
Mm-hmm.
Has your music reached enough people outside of, you know, your core group to, you know who you are?
You know, I have had that happen. I'm going to say no. I don't think that my music is not like known across the country. If I go play at a bar in Utah, nobody's going to know my stuff.
Sure.
But I have had a couple experiences that have been absolutely surreal where I was playing at a bar at the Lake of the Ozarks in Missouri a couple years ago, and I played one of my songs, and a girl came up to me afterwards. She goes, "I've heard that song." And I was really confused because it wasn't on the radio. And I said, "How?" And she goes, "I've heard it on TikTok. People have been using that song over their TikToks."
Oh, jeez.
And so that's how she had heard that song. And that was just absolutely bizarre to me that a random person that happened to be at this place that I was performing had heard one of my songs. And so whenever that does happen, it's a very, very unreal emotion.
Oh, I bet.
Absolutely.
So I think I would be totally remiss if I didn't mention our friends over at 10thWhiskey.com. That's 10th Mountain Whiskey and Spirit Company. They're out of Vail, Colorado. Great, great friends of ours. We don't like bourbon here at the Boots and Whiskey Podcast, and they make the absolute best bourbon I've ever tasted in my entire life. And I'm not saying that because they've been great to us. They have the best bourbon, the best rye I've ever tasted in my entire life. So check them out, 10thWhiskey.com. Tell them the Boots and Whiskey Podcast sent you. Cheers.
Wow. That's got to be cool. You know, that's got to be one hell of a feeling where, you know, you write, you put your heart and soul into something, and then a total stranger is like, "Hey, I recognize that." That's
absolutely — it's beyond cool. It's a total God thing. Because there is no other reason that she would have been in that bar at that time when I played that song, other than God knew that I needed to hear that.
Right. Yeah. Wow. That's wild. That's so great.
Isn't it? I still like, I'm giddy right now thinking about that, because the odds of that happening are 1,000,000 to 1.
Yeah. Yeah, that's a hell of a feeling to have.
Absolutely.
Wow. Now, when you are home in Nashville — you're currently in Nashville right now while we're talking?
I am, yes, sir.
Now, when you're playing in town, do you have places that are regular spots for you? Are there places you don't go, places you want to get into that you haven't yet?
I do have a couple places that I perform in quite a bit. I started playing on Broadway this year with my amazing friend Lizzie Cates. So that's been really fun, you know, playing at Casa Rosa, Miranda Lambert's bar, sure, Jason Aldean's, FGL House, things like that. That's been a blast. And there's definitely some places around town that I play a lot that I love playing. And tomorrow night I'm playing at a place called The Row in Nashville that I've been playing at, which ironically enough, another God thing. It is called The Row now. It used to be a Longhorn Steakhouse, and it is the exact place that my parents had dinner together the first time after they met. And now, 18 years later, not 18 years later, 20, oh my Lord, how many years have they been together? 27, 28 years? 20, almost 30 years later, I am now in that same exact restaurant, just with a different name, performing. And that's where they went on their first date together.
That's awesome. That's pretty cool. That's like that's a full circle moment too.
It is, isn't it?
That's wild.
That was weird because I knew that the first time I ever played there. And then I got on stage and I told that story into the mic, and it really hit me while I was on stage, because I'm up there and I'm like, I mean, this is literally, this place is the reason that I'm here. I mean, almost 30 years ago, this is where it all started.
Wow. Wow. Now, do you have siblings?
I don't. I'm an only child.
Attaboy. Mom and dad knew when to stop at greatness, like mine.
They had one, and they were like, we are not doing this again.
Yep.
They quit.
They just knew. They knew. That's what I tell people all the time. My parents, you know, I'm an only child too, and they were like, oh.
There we go.
You know, but it's like, no, my parents knew that greatness was in front of them, so they didn't need anymore.
I think people assume because we're only child that we have like no people skills, don't know how to communicate, look people in the eye.
I mean, I've gone through those things, but
I mean, that's relatable. But I think also most kids experience that at some point in their life. Now look at us. You got a podcast. I'm here talking to you. I won't shut up.
Right. No, I love it. You know, and it's the same thing with me. Like I started this whole thing because I love the sound of my own voice, you know, because
there you go.
You know,
relatable.
Right. Right. And, you know, it's funny because my wife is one of three and she's like, why do you want to be the center of attention all the time? And it's like, because I've always was.
I literally had a girl tell me in my first year seminar class in college, she's from North Carolina, and she talks like this, and she goes, now, Jet, we don't have to be the center of attention all the time, do we? And I looked at her, and I was like, sorry, habit. It's not that I'm like a stuck up person. That's what I'm trying to do. It's just my personality.
Right. Right. Oh, you're a lot nicer to her than I would have been. I would have been, well, I'm also a New Englander, so I got a little crass to me, but,
there you go.
You know, but yeah, no, it's true. And it's like, yeah, give me the spotlight, give, you know, everybody look
absolutely.
At me.
Absolutely. Absolutely.
So now when you're performing in town and, you know, especially on lower Broadway and that sort of thing, and you get all the bachelorette parties and, you know, all that craziness, does anybody ever look at you and go, I know you from somewhere? And, you know, you have to be like, well, yeah, I was, you know, I was in this, that, the other thing. Or do you just kind of like, I don't know, maybe.
That does happen sometimes, which again is an interesting feeling. But I typically mention the things that I have been in, or just a little bit about myself, just to keep, because that does make people interested, and typically they will stick around then and listen to the music and request songs. And if they're sticking around in the bars, they're drinking and eating, and the bar makes more money, and then they know that they make more money when we're there performing, so then they want to have us back. So look at that,
right.
Full circle.
Right. Yep.
And it's funny, whenever I do that, a lot of times people go, I knew him from somewhere.
Oh, yeah.
I hear that outside my in ears. They're like, I knew I knew him. And so that definitely does happen.
Now, so you mentioned it on stage then?
I do. I tell, I'm just okay. Like, hey, here's a little bit more about myself. And I just give like a quick little 30 seconds of a couple things that I've done, and just I typically tell people, if you want to learn some more, you can just like go to my website or something like that, because I'm not going to take up 5 minutes,
right,
you know, telling people my whole life story.
Right. This isn't the Jet interview hour.
It's not my place. Right. I'm also, ironically enough, I'm terrible at talking about myself.
Really?
So my self-promo is typically really bad. unless I am on something like this where you're kind of asking questions and it's bouncing back and forth, if you ask me to just straight up tell people about myself, oh my goodness, I freeze. I'm like, I don't know, what's something about myself?
Wow, that's surprising.
I know. People are always so confused by that.
Yeah. Now, what? So when you're not, you know, right now acting is on hold other than Nickelodeon, and, you know, a lot of your performances, I'm sure, are at night in the bars. Now, what do you, what is your day-to-day?
So it varies depending on kind of the schedule. I co-write a lot, so I'm writing songs every week, multiple songs a week. I'm doing that as much as I can. And then, you know, college, so that keeps me busy. You know, I got homework to do. I was up until 11:30 last night crunching in some homework that needed to be due at midnight that I probably should have done a couple days ago, but, you know, procrastination.
Hey, YOLO.
Exactly. There you go. And so those things keep me busy. And I think one thing that's very important is to remember that while I have been in the industry a long time, I am still a teenager and I'm 18. And so I like to spend time with my friends and my chosen family because they're the ones that keep you grounded. They're the ones that in 30 years, they knew me when I was just getting started, sort of thing. And I know that they're not trying to, you know, use me or anything like that. And so spending time with people like that, that just love you for who you truly are, and finding that group of people. And it's very difficult to sometimes, that's really important to me because family is everything to me.
Also, don't forget our friends over at hogwashandrhinestones.com. Our good friend Ray is the owner over there. She makes incredible clothing that you've seen all over the place, from Nashville to Boston to everywhere in between. Some really big names have worn her stuff. That's Hogwash, the letter N, rhinestones.com. Check them out. Tell them the Boots and Whiskey podcast sent you. You won't be disappointed. Check them out. Hogwashandrhinestones.com.
And so I really try to spend as much time with my friends and family as I can as well.
Nice. That's awesome. That's awesome. Now, you had mentioned that hopefully at the start of the year you'll have your next album out. What is?
Yes, sir.
What is, do you, have you thought about touring it outside of, you know, maybe your comfort zone?
You mean like going on it on tour?
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Yeah.
I definitely have. You know, I've been performing kind of all over. You know, I've been in Missouri. I've been in Cincinnati. I've been in Tennessee this year, and then also doing radio interviews from Virginia to Kentucky to Arkansas to Alabama. So I have been staying pretty busy. And I think once the next album comes out, depending on kind of the traction that it gets, we'll start doing a little bit of a tour. And I'm real excited for that.
Nice. Are there places you want to go?
There are some places, you know, I love my country. So I want to tour. I want to be able to like see all 50 states at some point in my life. Places that are really big for me are places that I grew up going to shows. So the Ryman, the Grand Ole Opry, Bridgestone Arena, the Nissan Stadium, all in Nashville. Getting to go out to California, one day getting to play like the Rose Bowl. That would be awesome. You know, there's certain Hollywood Bowl. I was at Tom Petty's last concert ever there. It was there, and that was amazing. He sounded awesome. His guitar player is absolutely insane. And so rest in peace to an absolute legend.
Yeah.
So there's definitely certain places that I would love to play. But also, at the same time, I want to go wherever people want me to go. If I have people in the middle of nowhere, Nebraska, that have a place that they want me to come play, and they know that they can fill it up, then I'll come to the middle of nowhere, Nebraska, because those people are the reason that I'm able to do what I love each and every day. They're the reason I have a career. They're the supporters. And so I will go as far and as wide as I can just to entertain those people and say thank you.
Wow, that's great. That's awesome. I love that. I love that. I love what you're doing. I think you're kicking ass, man. You're you're rolling, buddy. You're really, really rolling.
Thank you so much.
Now, do you have any other hobbies that you like to do outside of, you know, all of this?
I do. You know, I love, you know, just sitting down and playing the guitar. That's a big hobby for me. But, you know, spending time with family, again, is important. If I'm not on stage or in front of a camera, I'm typically in Missouri riding my horse, working cattle on our family's farm there. Okay. Or I'm at the gym, or I'm playing basketball or something with some of my friends at school. So I stay active. I stay busy. You know, I try to keep myself intertwined in various things because I feel like that's how you continue to grow and learn as a person. Just experience, do a bunch of different things. Try martial arts. Try going to the gym. Try playing guitar. Try picking up a new instrument. Go and meet random people. Walk up to a random stranger and say, "Hey, I like your shirt. What's your name?" You know, things like that.
Yeah.
Step out of your comfort zone.
Damn. Wow. You are something else, man. 18 years old, only child, pretty well-rounded.
Thank you so much.
Wow. We're gonna credit Clint Eastwood for all that, right?
There we go. Yeah. Absolutely. Wow, that's Clint, awesome. If you're listening to this, thank you.
God, if Clint Eastwood is listening to this, I am gonna just lock the doors and be like, I have accomplished it all.
There you go.
Well, Jet, how can the world keep in touch with you?
Everything from my website to my social media to my music is all just simply under my name, Jet Juergensmeyer. Jet with one T like a plane. Fun way to remember it. And then the Juergensmeyer part, you don't have to memorize all 12 letters. I'd be very flattered if you did. But you don't have to. You just have to know the J-U-R. So the first three. So J-E-T, J-U-R. I'll pop up. There's not many Jet Juergensmeyers out there. It's not a super common name, believe it or not. If there is another Jet Juergensmeyer that pops up, I don't know if we have to like have a rap battle for it or something like that. But typically, I'll be the one that pops up, and you can see where I'm going to be playing, music I'm putting out. Reach out to me on social media. Send me a message on Instagram. Say hey. I listened to your episode of the Boots and Whiskey podcast. I'm coming to Nashville. Where are you going to be playing?
Yeah, absolutely. I love that. I love to see people do that, you know, because it's awesome.
Me too. Absolutely. I love, you know, finding out where people kind of heard of me from and want to come see me play.
That's awesome. Wow. God, dude, you're badass, man.
Thank you.
Once the new album comes out, we'll have to talk again and you know, get an update on how things are going and what's going on in your world, for sure. Now, we typically ask about, obviously, boots and whiskey, but you being a young lad who is, you know, just plays music and pretty big productions, and under the age of 21, we won't get into the whiskey.
Okay, but if we want to talk about boots, that's something I can talk about.
Yeah, absolutely. So what do you, I mean, obviously you wear boots, right? I
hope. Absolutely, daily.
No, do you have a brand, a pair that you just like are like absolutely in love with?
So over the past couple of years, I've been wearing Durango boots a lot. The Durango Rebels I really like. They're real comfortable. But I've grown up wearing everything from Ariat's to Justin's. So Durango is what I'm wearing right now while I'm out on the farm. I love Durangos. I did just buy a pair of lace-up boots called Double H, I believe. And I wanted to try them. I was like, I need a pair of lace-up boots. I want a pair to just have. Everybody, every man needs a good pair of lace-up boots. And so I always just wore slip-on. So now I got a pair of Double H's. I really like them. They're real comfortable. I like boots. I mean, how can you not love the look of a good leather boot? Come on now.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, yeah. Yeah, absolutely.
And then the whiskey, well, I can't drink whiskey.
So. No, I'm sure, and I'm sure you've never even attempted.
Nope.
Good boy. Cool, man. Well, thanks for being on and taking the time. It's been a hell of a ride.
It has been. I cannot wait to come back. I love talking with you, man. Thank you so much.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. Anytime. And, you know, like, you've got my number, so just, you know, if anything,
absolutely,
anything's coming or I'm coming out your way for some reason, I'm a call you up and say, hey, where are you playing?
There you go. You better do it.
Awesome, man. Well, thanks again for your time, and you know, we'll chat soon, man.
Thank you so much. Anytime. I can't wait to see you again. Bye.
Bye.
Dallas Jackson here with Tipsy Music. Artists, are you tired of getting $5 to play Freebird? How are you getting fans to engage with your own music? Venmo and Linktree are just temporary solutions until now. Tipsy Music is the one-stop shop for live music to make your life easier and monetize your set list. Tipsy takes Venmo, Apple Pay, Google Pay, and even credit cards all through your unique Tipsy QR code. Best part is no app to download, so fans can pay you quickly and get back to getting tipsy while watching you do what you do best. Sign up for free today at tipsymusic.com. That's T-I-P-S-E-E music.com, at Tipsy Music on all socials. Long live live music.
Well, there you have it, everyone. Our conversation with Jet Juergensmeyer. Again, Jet, thank you so much, buddy, for being here and your patience with how long it's taken for the episode to come out. I'm so sorry, brother. We just, you know, schedules and all that stuff, shit happens. So I apologize. I didn't mean to make you wait as long as you have. But, you know, I also saw that you had done an episode with another podcast. So I didn't want to, you know, put it out right away after that one. You know, I think that would have been unfair to them. You know, that's just not what you do. You know, we're all in this together, and that's that. So anyway, now I'm getting on my soapbox. But again, if you're first time here, thank you. Check out our Instagram, Facebook, TikTok, the whole nine yards. We appreciate it so much. You know, as you heard in this episode here at the Boots and Whiskey Podcast, it's all about real people, real stories, real country, y'all. Thank you so much. And until next time, until Monday, we have another three-peat next week, starting on Monday with Jake Lentner, who is Cody Jinx's guitar player. We will see you then. And we have Uncle Lucius next week, and we have Johnny Daly, which we will be announcing tomorrow. But if you're listening to this, you got it in today. So cheers, guys. Keep those boots on the ground and the whiskey in the glass. Have a great weekend. We'll see you Monday. Cheers.